Thursday, February 27th. The time is 6:01. Reglu Martinez, staff member, will you please call the roll?
Elderwoman Kristen Wilhelm.
Here.
Member Chor. Member Canupo.
Here.
Elderman Barber.
Here.
We have a quorum. First item of business is approval of the minutes. Is there any corrections, additions to the minutes?
Also move.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposed, motion carries. So we have citizen comment period. Any citizens that would wish to speak, please come up to the microphone. State your name and address. Good evening.
Could you come up to the mic, or could you reset it on the table?
Maybe you could take this one here and
you can
sit down.
Why don't you sit here on
You don't have to stand and...
I don't think that it turned on.
Testing.
Yep.
Okay. I was just... Someone gave me something to read and...
Penny, speak right into the mic because it's not picking up.
Okay, somebody gave me... Can you hear me?
Yes.
Now we can.
Okay. Somebody gave me something to read. And in it, there are various things which I've underlined that I would like to know. I need answers. Okay. It said, the concrete and ready-mix plants, operations, and facilities, as previously defined, may be established on the property. I mean... They want to take the asphalt plant and all their operations and move it down into the hole, into the bottom of the pit.
Well, my understanding, they did move a lot of, like, the crushing and stuff down the bottom of the pit because it helps contain the dust. And that was something that they did a while ago.
And asphalt?
I thought the asphalt plant was there, but we'd have to verify that with Clint.
Okay, now...
I've not been down there, so...
As far as the, reclamation project, which has never been, officiated?
Typically, this is not a question and answer, but I totally know what your concern is with that, and so I'm going to respond and let you know that this committee... made that recommendation to the Common Council last December. Nothing has ever happened to it. So the council made the motion to move that forward. Still nothing has never happened. So this committee, it's out of this committee's hands. It's in the council's hands in the pile of motions that are waiting to be acted upon.
And, I mean, they're just, what if, okay, all these things are in the pit now. What if it floods? I mean, if it floods and they can't work there anymore, they just leave all that stuff contaminating everything? I mean, it would contaminate all the water supply in the river, wouldn't it?
I can't speak to that because I don't even know if that's what they're doing. And I know that they do pump water out of the pit, and they do have a holding pond. So those are all speculations that I can't address.
I thought they weren't supposed to pump water into the river.
Well, they're not. They're pumping it into a holding pond.
I've seen it pumped into the river.
Well, it goes from that pond and then discharges into there.
What is the difference?
Settlement. So it goes from, like, if this is the river and this is their pond, it sits in this pond for a while and has a chance to settle out like silt in a container. And then when they release it, it's cleaner as it goes out.
Cleaner, but not clean.
I know, I've seen it pretty cloudy, but yes, yeah. That's a DNR issue. That's not our... It's not...
That should be a Franklin issue, shouldn't it?
Try to take it up, Penny. It's... We can't even get the website updated, so...
I mean, there's so many things that are wrong.
I won't disagree with you on that. In fact, I'll totally agree with you on that.
And... When is it going to get measured?
We might have a update on that. It's on the agenda.
Okay. Because from what I understood, it's been a number of years since they reached their limits. And I don't think they should be going any further.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else that would like to speak? Good evening.
Clint Winger, Payne and Dolan, 2123 Springbrook North, Waukesha, Wisconsin. I just want to catch up on a couple things since I missed the December meeting. We didn't have one in January. First of all, starting the season here, we expect to begin blasting operations sometime in the next week or two. I know earlier this month I sent a regular email as a courtesy to let them know. We didn't begin for various reasons at that time frame, but we expect you in the first next week or two. We will be monitoring all those blasts as we usually do with our own seismic graphs, but we just want to extend that courtesy. And at that time, we resume blasting. We will begin the voluntary pre-blast notification to neighbors that we started last year. And we will continue those notifications for the duration of the year. If you remember, we started this notification process last year at the request of some of the neighbors who said it would be helpful to know when we are blasting. Just a little bit on how that process works. We work through Vibertech's web-based application. And on that application, we have our contact list. We can send the notices out through that application electronically, either via text or email. That application documents when the notices were sent, who they were sent to, by what type of media, and actually includes what the message says. We've been using a standard message, and that message is, this is a pre-blast notification from Payne and Dolan. There will be blasting at the Franklin Aggregates Quarry today. Usually we send that out around 8 o'clock in the morning. We don't want to send it out too early. Obviously, if you get texts going off at 5:30 in the morning, we don't want to do that. So we try to do that around 8 o'clock. We do have confirmation documentation that the messages were sent. However, we cannot control whether people get their emails or texts. A classic example is Jeff Klinkwitz at one of the last meetings said he quit. For whatever reason, he wasn't getting emails anymore. So I asked him, I said, if you're comfortable, we'll send you texts. You know, we can't control how you receive it. But for verification, I actually have it texted me too. I think there's one time, for whatever reason, I didn't get the text. Derek Navani, Brianna, and our office guys. So for whatever reason, it doesn't, but we know that they were sent out. And I know at the last meeting, there was somebody who said they stopped getting notifications. And that's the first we've heard of anybody not getting besides Mr. Winkler. So if somebody was getting them and isn't, it's not because we quit doing it. We're still doing it. If there's an alternative vehicle, either if you're texting my email, can do either or. And then sometimes we'd have people that even weren't on the list prior to, we can add anybody to the list that wants to be. And we leave them on until such time as they request to be taken off. Again, this notification is voluntary, and it's because the neighbors wanted to do that, that was something that we offered to do. There was some mention of a requirement under state statute that requires us to provide this. That is not accurate. We reviewed this same question with the committee because it got brought up last fall, and I think it responded back to it at the committee last fall. There is, I think it's chapter SPS, which is Safety and Professional Services 307, which covers explosives and fireworks. That regulates blasting in Wisconsin. 307 does require persons conducting blasting operations to file a notice of blasting in community, and that's at the beginning of the year. And the person doing the blasting has to fill out the form, send it to the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services, the local fire department, and local police department. Barca, who's our blasting contractor, takes care of that notice for us. There is also a requirement in there that residents and owners of dwellings and structures be notified within 24 hours, but that's of initial blasting on an initial blast site. Mine sites aren't included in that because obviously it's not initial blasting. But in 307, it also defines the area that you have to notice, and it's limited by a formula in the actual state statute. Again, this doesn't apply to us because we're not doing initial blasting. It's been continuous for how many tens of years. But even if you took that notification requirement and that formula and tried to apply it to the mine site, using the large setbacks at the Franklin Quarry, the notification radius would fall within our property boundaries. So the only person we'd be notifying is ourselves anyway. Remember, that doesn't apply, but even if it did, you'd just be notifying yourself. So this is a voluntary thing that we did because neighbors and people asked to do that. We came up with to do it, and I think that's been well received. Finally, the last thing I'd like to address was a comment at that December meeting that the comment was an outside individual caused that to change. And that was referring to canceling a kickoff meeting regarding the proposed survey. I want to make it clear that it wasn't an outside individual. I have requested that the meeting be at a time that I can make it. And being the designated representative for the property owner and the company doing business, I thought it was important for me to be there. I mean, we've been a longtime property owner and company doing business in Franklin. And we have a vested interest in the right to be involved with these things that are going to happen specifically on our property. We shouldn't be included in that type of meeting. We need to make sure some basic things were covered prior to an outside contractor coming onto the site. Those things could have been dealt with at that meeting. Such things as, what time is the contractor going to be there? How long does he need to be there? How many people is he going to bring on site? Does the contractor's employee have proper MSHA safety training? Which they didn't. So in that case, we had to provide somebody as an all-day escort with them while they were on site per MSHA safety regulations. Did we have the proper indemnification for them to be on our property? The city was covered per your contract, but we weren't. So we had to make sure that we were identified if they do something that we're not held liable for their actions. Did we have the correct insurance for us? The city had it for themselves, but not for us. We were able to get that in place, but all these things had to take place after that. And not to mention, I think if the city is gonna go on to private properties for these type of endeavors, I think we just want the property owners there involved in those kind of needs. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Just to clarify, all of that did take place after the fact without me being present. So there was really no need to hold up the initial meeting to just make sure the contractor was on board with the city contract, because that meeting still could have taken place after the fact, which, in fact, that's what happened. So we actually missed a deadline that was not a deadline that we needed to have the quarry people there for anyway. So, Penny, the microphone is there. It's citizen comment period. You don't...
Well, I just wanted to say that... we started getting notifications. My husband gave them his email address, and we started getting notifications, and then they just stopped.
Well, I would suggest that you give them again and make sure. Maybe, I don't know if you have more than one email address, or you want to do text to, you know, a phone, but maybe an alternative method so you're on there twice. One on email for one of you, one on email for the other, or one text, one email. And
well, this was an email address on phone, so
just text. Did it coincide at all with the fact that they stopped blasting for a period and
no.
They haven't been doing it?
No. Way before that.
Turn the mic on, Mark. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We haven't been getting notifications.
Well, see if you get them this week, because or next week, because they're going to be starting again. So see if you're receiving them then. If not, we'll, you know, we have to get that your email to them again. That's all.
Okay.
Yes, I can gladly take the text email. Just
okay. If there are no other citizens' comments, I'd like to close the citizens' comment period and move on to hearings. There are none. Next item is business review of the proposed amendments to the municipal code for Section 1019 Quarry Monitoring Committee, specifically A composition, B appointment, and C term. Alderman Barber, you have the lead on this, I believe.
I'll defer to, yes, it all prepared for the record.
Yeah, these changes are the same changes that the committee previously recommended for approval on the rules of the quarry committee. So, but we need to amend the municipal code in order to be consistent with the municipal code and the ordinance that was approved in 2012. So basically are the same changes.
And I move to make those changes.
Just a second. So just so the process, so we would take this to the council. The council would need to approve it or deny it. And then if they approve it, it would have to go to public hearing, wouldn't it, to make an ordinance change? Or is that?
No, the ordinance will go to common council.
Okay. And then there's no hearing needed. It would just get changed. There's no hearing for an ordinance, for this particular ordinance change.
Well, there will be a meeting in the common council.
Right, but not a notice of public hearing like you do when you have some amendments require it, so I didn't.
I'm not aware of any public hearing requirement, but I will confirm with Jesse.
I think there wouldn't be, but I just wanted to make sure that. Okay.
So I make a motion that we adopt the same language for both ordinances to have changed at the earliest possible council meeting.
Second.
So the motion is to adopt the amendments before us and then send the recommendation to council.
As we discussed it in December.
Okay. And then make the recommendation to the council for approval. And we had a second. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposed. Motion carries.